Hey, welcome to episode 115, and I'm going to do something a little bit different. Instead of going into the normal thing which about our sponsors, which are, in case you were wondering, Bomber Jacket. Head to www.mybomberjackets.com, use the promo code RAPCAST15, and save 15% on your entire purchase. Also, the Beer Sauce Shop at 317 Mid River Mall Drive. Don't use a promo code there. Just go in and tell them that we sent you. And, yeah, so that's our sponsors.
Okay.
And I do have the flop doing the intro with me, who was not on the episode because she was feeling down. And if you want to know why she was feeling down, listen to the episode because I had theories about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because we went from a New Year's to two days off and then right back into a little bit of drinks with no rest on the comedy show. Yeah, I think you were just run down.
How do you know I just wasn't depressed?
You could have been. I don't know. I don't know how a comedy show depressed you. Jay Bliss did not do a good job. Poor soul. So we talked about him in the episode, yes, too. But what I wanted to do is Tom brought up a good point via text, and we tried to get my oldest daughter in here, who would be the only perspective on this that really counts, because she's the only fan. But I did want to talk real quick before we start the episode about Logan Paul, because, mm-hmm, one, it hits close to home in a sense.
Wait, rewind, because some people may not know who he is.
Well, it hits close to home, the story for us, in a sense, because we have a daughter that is a fan of his YouTube channel, which is, he's a video logger, or a vlogger.
Vlogger.
As the kids say, who recently, while in Japan for New Year's, was doing the hike in the mountain and the trail there.
Yeah.
In what is known the world over
as... I can't say the actual forest name, but...
Just call it by its nickname, the Suicide Forest.
Yeah.
That is where a significant amount of people in Japan go and commit suicide. He stumbled across the body while doing his video log, and he shared it, and he got a lot of shit for it. And
still is. They're trying to sign a petition to get him kicked off of YouTube.
Yeah, and he
has way many more followers than there are people that have signed that petition.
Yeah,
so.
Well, and he also came out with an apology.
Two apologies.
Yeah, and I watched the video, and I will say it's edited poorly, in poor taste. It's edited in poor taste. And I do feel like that they probably thought, well, wouldn't it be cool if we did stumble across a dead body while we were out here?
Oh, well, I'm sure, yeah.
I just think that the only thing that he did wrong is he could have framed it better than what he did, because it's such a personal and a close-to-home subject for when a person does commit suicide that you can't make light of it. Like, and not that he really... I don't even think he made light of
it. Well, he did.
Yeah, he did.
In one scene where he was like, what, you've never seen a dead person? And he laughed. And I think he was just trying to break the silence of everyone and everyone being so like, holy shit, what did we just come across? And holy shit, that's sad. But it was kind of in poor taste, because I am one of, if you've ever met me, you've probably heard me say on multiple occasions, you got to find humor in everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what stand-up comics preach too. And I just think that, first off, here's my thing with Logan Paul. Our daughter is crazy about him. She has like 5 shirts. She loves him.
She's like, infatuated.
Yeah. And I'd be a hypocrite to say, I'm going to be a hypocrite because we have a podcast, but to say what I say is, I just don't get the appeal of being famous for that.
For nothing.
For what they do, you know. But
good for them, though, for being able to find a niche in the world and...
But
niche,
but that's the problem I had with it, is that he is famous. He does have a lot of followers. Mm-hmm. And I would say if you broke down his demographic, there'd be a significant among them that are small, younger, adolescent girls.
Yeah.
You know, preteen girls. And in a time in our world where preteen girls are really seems like very subject to depression because of the social media bullying and the stuff that we have. You got to be better at that when it comes to people committing suicide. And now, should he be kicked off? No.
No, I don't think so. I think he did something in poor taste and poor judgment. He's still a kid.
He needs it. But I tell you this. I have seen some of the videos for having a significant amount of people that make him famous as kids. He probably needs to take a look at what he does overall. He's pretty risky on some things he says and does.
But he edits all his bad words.
Yeah. Maybe it's a good chance to step back, take self-reflection on what he is, and come out with a product that, I don't mean safe, I don't mean play it safe, but I mean figure out where the line is. and then come back and do videos. But should he
be... He should totally rebrand... Not totally rebrand himself, but he should take this time to reflect and kind of figure out,
yeah, learn what it is to be... what's funny versus shocking. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because essentially, he wants to be funny. He's a funny guy. Sometimes
he does... Him and his brother both try and do shocking shit.
And that's a good segue there because his brother just got in hot water. Jake Paul, for those that don't know. Now, I'll say this.
He's a total douche.
Yeah, our daughters love Logan Paul, our oldest. She hates Jake Paul.
Well, he's an idiot. That's
and he is in trouble for... They are really... I mean, I'm not saying that they're Casper the Friendly Ghost, but they're white kids. They are...
From Ohio, by the way.
Upper middle class. Well, now they're upper class white kids.
Yeah, they're both living in $1 million mansions. And they're not suffering in the world.
And Jake Paul does a freestyle rap where he drops the N-word.
I didn't even listen to it because I...
Because it's not good. He's not a rapper.
No, he's... Most white people are not good rappers.
But there is a... You can... The fact that there is a counter for the amount of times he uses the N-word in it. So, I would almost say... for two things about that. One... How dumb do you have to be to do something like that and get filmed when your brother is going through so much shit? Like, so, I mean, it's the best time to...
If I had, I guess, he's like, my brother's getting all of this attention, and now I need something that will get attention
too. That's my second point. I'm worried about that, too. I mean, that's what I worry about these YouTube things and these stars, is that it is an attention-grabbing thing. And Jake Paul's taken a lot of shit from a lot... Or Logan Paul... I do think that he can weather the storm because it's not like sexual assault that Hollywood's going through. So just, like you said, take a step back, reevaluate, come back with a product that is funny, do what you did that got you famous, but don't go crazy. And, you know,
got him famous was Vine, so he can't go back to that. Well, it's not a thing anymore.
Toe the line, you know.
Well, yeah.
And then, but his brother, I mean, I don't think that...
I don't even know. Did Jake apologize for what he did?
I don't know. Probably.
I haven't seen it.
But I think what he did in light of what was going on with his brother is just so stupid. Take him off. It's just trashy. His brother made a mistake. They came across a dead body. They showed it in a bad light. And it is bad and wrong. But his brother, in poor taste, at a time when he should have been a little more sensitive, somebody, a manager, someone said, hey, perhaps you don't do a freestyle rap where you drop N-bombs.
Yeah. Yeah,
because the microscope's going to be on us a little right now. I mean, just dumb. But like I said,
again, they're kids. I'm not justifying anything that they have done. I'm just saying they're kids. Everyone that works with them is kids. Their production is kids. I think their management is probably not much older than them. Their parents don't live with them. They live on their own.
Well, that's a good point, too, because it's a new world. There's not a YouTube star manager. You know, it's not like there's a talent agency that specializes. Or maybe there is. But
I have no idea.
But it's relatively new, so.
Probably the same old management agency type thing that Hollywood does.
Yeah. And anyway, well, I wanted to talk about it for a minute because we do have a daughter that is, and we have spent significant money on his clothes for her.
Yeah.
So.
And I have taken time to talk to Kaylin and Hayden about what was... Hayden hasn't seen the video.
Yeah.
But I did take time to speak to both of the girls about what they stumbled across, you know, suicide.
Yeah, which is good. That's what every parent should do.
Like I did when 13 Reasons Why came out. Yeah. It was a conversation that we had, so.
And that was controversial, too, that show, a little bit. But it wasn't real, like what he did, you know, found. So.
Yeah.
So, anyway, this is episode 115. That was the long intro. I apologize. It's just something we wanted to tackle because we do have daughters that are in us. We've spent money on the guy. I figure, like, you know, it's worth bringing up. Tom did want to talk about it, but I figure by the time we do an episode again, it'll be past.
Yeah.
So, I apologize for this episode. Like I said during the episode, there was a complete lack of energy level to it because I was working on, like, a 3 or 4 day hangover.
You were missing me and or Bender.
Yeah, and we needed our spark, the flop. And
you need the...
And we needed our target for our jokes in the Bender. So enjoy episode 15. The music's about to start, and we're done.
Peace.
Here it comes.
Random Ass Podcast.
We are back, and this is an intimate episode.
Mm.
Just me and the Silver Badger.
Secret lovers.
It's not a secret if we're recording it.
It's kind of,
yeah, it's out there in the open if everybody can hear it. But no one else. No Bender tonight. His wife's sick. My wife's not feeling great, although I think a bit of that is self-inflicted, which we'll get into in a little bit. But that said, the theme of this episode, and I kind of said it a while ago, is lethargic. I'm always looking forward to recording, but I was not looking forward to how the episode was going
to
play out.
You literally just said 2 minutes ago, I'm not looking forward to this episode. No, and I noticed two other variables not here. You don't actually have to look.
Yeah, yeah. you held your hand out like I should.
I'm always on the theater.
I followed the gesture, you know.
Like, oh, thanks, dick.
Yeah, well, no, it's not you. I always look forward to doing the episode. But I knew getting the enthusiasm level up, the excitement level up was going to be tough. It's going to be tough sell because, well, I guess we can get right into it. Last night, as a Christmas present, one of my wife's aunts, which was a great idea on paper, but she badly executed it. What she did is she bought for all the cousins and their significant others.
So tickets to Paradise?
Yeah, and we didn't pack our bags, but we did leave last night. but no, it was she got tickets to the Funny Bone to go see a comedy.
Oh, nice.
For all the cousins.
Shit, I haven't been there in like 15 years.
Except she got them for a Wednesday night. On the first Wednesday night for most kids going back to school.
Yeah, well, that probably had something to do with the dollar amount of those tickets.
Probably. Still, I mean, like I said, it was a very good idea because it got the cousins together.
Yeah.
And all of us of this age group together.
Mm-hmm.
12 tickets, I think 7 of us went, and one of those was a date for one of the girls, so it wasn't a relative. So
like, first date? Like,
No,
this guy's been around for a while.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how long he's been around for her.
So you never met this?
This was the first time we met him, but let's not get into that.
Oh, well, that could have been like half our fodder there, right there.
No, I mean, he was fine, but and the comedian was, and I apologize to the two local comics, the guy that kicked off, he was decent. You could tell he's learning.
Okay, his craft. He didn't have a type 5.
Earning his chops, so to speak, and it was a very small crowd because it was a Wednesday night at 8 degrees outside.
Yeah,
he did all right. He did fine. He had some good material.
Okay, what was his go-to joke?
I don't know. I mean, it's stand-up comics.
Why people be driving like this?
Oh yeah, no, it's not that. White guy had good remarks about racism in St. Louis, and then the second comic was a returning St. Louisan. He was a guy that lived out in California, won some awards for writing.
Okay.
Wrote for Funny or Die while he was out there.
Okay.
He's back in St. Louis because of his mom has leukemia. So he's back with her.
Any good jokes on that?
No. I mean, he hit on it a little bit. But,
sure.
Kind of his whole mood, the way he had a lot of dark jokes. So he was fine. He was really funny. And then the headliner was a guy named Jay Bliss, who's a touring comic.
I was about to say, he sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's been on some TV shows and opened for some big comics. And I mean, he's a professional touring comic.
Now, is he a married man?
A divorced man.
Oh, so no, he can no longer say good morning, Miss Bliss.
Yeah, he could not.
Damn.
And he was a black guy, and he may not even get that joke.
Because
that was a white person's show.
Yeah, because there was no... Well, there's one minority, right?
Yeah,
there's two. Lisa Turtle was in that.
Well, yeah, but Lisa Turtle was the minority in Good Morning, Miss Bliss.
No, what was the other boy's name?
Mikey?
Yeah. So there's Zach.
Yeah.
And Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa.
Yes.
And then there was like this other like Mikey kid. And he does not come in to say
was he
right
only
about,
on the pilot?
He's in the whole first, whatever, 8 or 12 episodes of Good Morning, Miss Bliss there was.
Mm. And when they were in Iowa before they moved to California and became Bayside and Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, because Jesse wasn't in the first
Jesse
season.
And A.C. Slater wasn't
right,
in it.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know. I do remember Mikey, but I don't think he was just a dark-haired kid, right?
That's a good question. I thought he had like a tan complexion.
He was Zach's best friend.
Yeah. You know that kid developed a drug habit.
Yeah, no doubt.
It could have been Slater, man.
Yeah, except I wasn't ripped.
By the way, that show sucks.
Saved by the Bell?
Yeah.
I still love it.
Ugh.
You also, we had a little thing with the comic strip thing you posted on the
Facebook
page.
It's called Bringing Material to the Fan Facebook page. New year. I'm going to start posting more.
I know.
And get you fans liking our...
Two posts. You had two posts.
It's about two more than I had last year.
It is. At least tied your whole last year.
Yeah.
But Pearls Before Swine, I mean, That's
Oh, dude, I dig it. Do you not like it?
No, it's fine. I just don't think it's the Mount Rushmore. I don't think it's got the exposure that those other ones had.
Probably not. No, I think when I was thinking of the Mount Rushmore, if you were going to go by fame and probably books sold, cultural impact, the four are clearly Peanuts, Keller, and Hobbes, Far Side, Garfield. That's absolutely right. I think, though, in the last 20 years, Pearls Before Swine is the comic. If you go to a lot of local newspapers now, that is on the front page.
Yeah. And you've also, though, I think in between there, though, there's things like Dilbert and
good point.
Foxtrot.
Yeah, Foxtrot had its moment. But so did Mother's Grimm and had its moment.
And they're all kind of on the way out. And Pearls Before Swine is that new post-internet age comic strip that has legs.
I think what made me think that it got the Mount Rushmore is, what would you say is your number one? Would you go
Calvin Hobbes? Yeah.
So Bill Watterson has been basically a hermit for the last 20 years.
Yeah, he's
wrote, and he wrote some strips for Pearls Before Swine. Yeah, so that's kind of like,
he actually took over and they made it a big deal. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, so I mean, he'll sprinkle a little Hogan dust on him. That's why I feel like that maybe has a chance maybe 10 years from now to be in the Mount Rushmore. Because Garfield's not funny.
So anyway, that was, I don't even know what got us into that, but one of the reasons I think my wife is not here is because we were up late, we drank a little bit. Not a lot, but we drank a little bit.
Now, how is Missy in the comic setting? Does she oversell jokes? She undersell?
Oh, Missy laughs.
Okay.
But she is scared to death to sit near the front, and I have no problem.
So did anybody take a shot at you?
The main comic, the main guy, he asked, is there any married couples in here? And because there was a lot of people dating.
Sure.
And I said, oh, yeah, me and this woman and her brother were sitting in between us. He goes, you and her? And I go, yeah, you can see how much she thinks of me. She put her brother in between us.
Ah,
he goes, you must have melded in at Christmas. So, we had a good time.
Did he sell your joke?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There you go. That's
yeah. But here's the thing. And this is what I'm going to get. I'm going to end this and then I want to jump back to New Year's. Missy's cousin.
Okay.
The one that was on a date. We're all parents.
Yeah.
Okay. Except with the exception of her little sister. We're all parents. And we've all got someone at home watching our kids.
Mm-hmm.
She answers the phone and is on the phone.
Oh, now, during the set?
No, she's quiet and she's all tucked down like this. But I look at her. The comedian spots it. And finally he goes, you know what? I'm just going to wait for her to get off the phone.
Yeah.
And she was at the end. She goes, it was my mom. Yeah. Okay. Go answer.
Yeah, yeah.
Leave. Walk out.
Yeah.
And then come back in.
Right.
That's less insulting than what you did. And she was as discreet and non-rude as she could be, but still, you're at a show.
Would a guy ever do that? That's a total woman move, right?
No, yeah, that is a female. If a dude does it, it's because he's a bro and he's drunk. And he's about to go alpha on somebody, you suck anyway, I'm funnier, and all that kind of stuff.
Right, right.
He's about to be a heckler to get kicked out. But, yeah, it was that said, it was a good night. That Jay Bliss, I'll link him, I'll put that we mentioned to him here. And, again, I apologize to the two local comics, but it was fun. It was definitely worth it. And like I said,
did you see the local comics in the crowd afterwards? You should have asked if they wanted to be on our fledgling podcast.
We did not see him because, obviously, he came up, and then when he was done, they probably took the opportunity to bounce because there was literally 30 people there.
I used to know the guy who was the MC Monday through Wednesday there. He was not that funny.
Yeah. This guy was okay.
Yeah.
He was like 30.
Yeah, working on his craft.
Still living in mom's basement, so he had material from that.
Yeah.
That's
so original, I bet.
His funniest shtick was that fact that his dad died just 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and his mom literally just started dating. And because she started dating her dad when she was 16, or his dad when she was 16, it's the only dating experience she had, and the only person she can ask questions is her son. And he's like, it makes for some uncomfortable thing. He's like, I don't know how to – he goes, there's two different conversations when the guy comes over. I either talk to him like he's my stepdad, and I throw a fit and run off. He goes, or I talk to him like I know what's up, like he's going to try to hit that. He goes, I got news for you, buddy. I tore that shit up when I came out. I was 10 and a half pounds. But it was, his delivery was – Not to say mine there was more polished, but there was confidence in the way I was saying it. And he was an awkward guy.
Sure.
So.
Well, I think that premise is funny. I just think that closing is.
No, it was more than this. That I'm paraphrasing
sure.
those
sure,
things.
Sure. Sure. So. Yeah.
Yeah. That was not his joke. I mean, that was the premise of his joke. I want to go back to New Year's real quick before we move on to anything else, and that is. After you left the Benders, after the episode, you mentioned a while ago, we thought it was a really good episode. I think something that had to do with that, too, was I think the live streaming paid off. I think we got good feedback from that.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Old Scotty Too Hottie said my blue shirt was on point.
Yeah, and I think that we're going to probably do that a little bit more. Maybe I'll set something up for the, which is a segue here in a little bit, the Royal Rumble episode. Maybe I'll set us up on that one. So.
Okay.
Yeah, so I enjoyed New Year's, but after you left, we got turned out. We turned it up a notch. I don't know what the kids say now.
Yeah?
I threw up the next day.
Yeah.
The morning. Before I cooked breakfast, I started to cook breakfast. It was just me and Branson's wife.
Yeah.
And I was starting breakfast, and then I slowed down and leaned over, and she goes, "You need me to take over?" I go, "No, I'm just going to run to the bathroom real quick," and I threw up.
Oh, that's what everybody wants when they get their breakfast cooked, is the cook throwing up.
I did wash up. I checked into 12 beers.
Okay.
And you know I had multiples of some beers.
Yeah.
And then we got whiskey out.
I was about to say, you had to bring out the hard stuff. Yeah. The beer, yeah. It's a terrible idea.
Yeah, considering John's not a big whiskey drinker, and me and Branson are, so we took the lion's share of it.
Did anybody else get sick?
Oh, everyone felt bad, but I was the only one. Bender doesn't puke. Bender just passes out.
Yeah.
And he did.
I don't think I've ever seen Bender hungover.
No, he was hungover.
Okay.
But he literally just fell asleep at the island in their kitchen. And we go, "Maybe it's time for you to go to bed." Okay. And he walked right upstairs and went to bed.
What time is this at?
1:31.
Okay, like that. That's about when I woke. Well, I passed out watching The Simpsons at home, drinking a couple beers, and then I woke up to what sounded like Afghanistan, downtown Kabul.
Right.
All the Hoosiers shooting off fireworks and guns.
Well, he went up to bed, and Branson had just turned a corner because he wasn't drinking as early as us.
Okay.
And as often as we were, because on the episode, we always put him down.
Yeah.
You know? And so he was now turning the corner to Drunk Street, and he was like, I want to finish a beer. And then he opened another beer, and I couldn't just let him sit on the island by himself while the girls slept in the living room. And
literally couldn't let him be on the island by himself.
yeah, that worked out. So I attempted one more beer with him. Most of it got dumped.
Yeah.
But I bet I had near 20 beers and 2 good shots of whiskey.
Woo!
And we were drinking real beer. There were some humdingers in there.
It's really crazy when the difference. Like, I drink real beer when I come over here to the studios. And that Texas Bowl, when I had my buddy Ryan over, who works for AB, I put down between 12 and 14
like Busch
and Bud Selects. Felt fine the next day.
Yeah, like it's nothing. but it was a good night. And
great night.
Nice to hang out at Bender's new house.
And that, yes, sweet house. And that game was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. We played Joking Hazard.
Yeah.
Which was
great game.
From the creators of Cyanide and Happiness, which... You know, if you're going to talk about in the post-internet world, probably it's one of the Penny Arcade or two of the big comic strips on the interwebs. We had a good time. I enjoyed that tradition of us recording at Bender's, doing something, and then, you know, getting drunk. And maybe one year you'll be able to, you know, go the whole nine, you know?
I like sleeping in beds.
Oh, I understand that. I mean, at least stay till midnight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The little tykes are a little harder to do.
Well, yeah, the baby. Yeah. Actually, the baby probably would have been fine. It was the toddler. Tyler.
Although he kind of perked up towards the end. He had fun.
He had a good time. He just kind of did his own thing, man.
Yeah.
Running around, did some shit.
Speaking of him, he made me cry today. Real manly tears.
Did he
tears.
Hit you right in the belly?
No, it was his first day to ride the school bus all by himself to his new school. He was fine up until I put him in.
Rode a school bus to the daycare?
To the daycare.
I'll be darned. That's going to pay dividends, man.
That's what everybody says, he'll continue to go to his private daycare 2 days a week full time, and now he's going to go to the public school, Francis Howell Early Childhood Learning Center, 3 days a week, half days.
Yeah.
And,
you see my daughter, Hayden. Not my oldest daughter, but Hayden. Hayden's got a lot of personality. One of the things I'm proud of is she's got tons of personality. Had it at an early age.
Yeah.
But she was so, so shy. Like, she wouldn't talk to family members. And then we took her away from the babysitter and put her in daycare. And it was like a month.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a brand new person. She was outgoing. She was joking. She literally would strive to be the funniest person.
Oh, yeah.
And she would.
Gotta be tough in this family, am I right?
Like in school, like when she was in kindergarten, there was a girl funnier than her. And when that girl would be sick or something, she'd come home from school. She goes, "Dad, so and so wasn't at school, so I was the funniest person in class today." So
that's never been an issue for me. I've always been the funniest person.
Yeah. Man, how things have changed for you in life.
Yeah.
So that was New Year's. And like I said, a segue over to the video of Royal Rumble. We're going to do that. That's the 27th?
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't know if we'll get Bender in or not, but I think we can get the flop down here. So probably just the three of us. I might reach out to one friend that's a good wrestling fan. And
I'll reach out to my brother who hosted us last year. He has actually reached out to me to see if you and I want to come over.
Or does he want to come over and sit on the podcast?
Yeah, dude. Well, see, here's the thing. If I bring my brother on, he might replace me because he might be funnier than me.
Okay.
I'll see if he
helps. I was with you both. You were more outgoing that night.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got to step up my A game.
I bet he's more opinionated.
Yeah.
About wrestling.
Oh, about wrestling, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
No, I'll see if he wants to come on.
Yeah, it's up. Yeah, it's good. I mean, that was a good idea, too. I like it. The only reason I want to change it is just so we can record. Mm-hmm. And I would much rather not haul the equipment anywhere.
Oh, for sure.
So we'll do that. And you know, I am recording. You saw me set up the recording, just speaking of. We're not going to make a whole episode about pro wrestling, although since it's just you and I, we could. You had asked me what how it turned out, but that New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom 12
mm-hmm.
was yesterday. And if you read I like the Bleacher Report's review of the card, they grade the card.
Yeah.
They break it down. And they're fairly, for being people that were obviously Attitude Era fans, they're fairly without judgment. They give good grades. They'll give C's to A's. There's some D's, some time. But they, you know, they have. I like their criticisms. It's not all negative.
You think it's fair?
I think it's very fair.
I think it's very easy to shit on wrestling.
Yeah, big time. But they, I mean, most of those matches, and they even say, you know, like for instance, that Ryder is not a fan of the Young Bucks. I am not a fan of the Young Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like their style.
Yeah.
And the match they had, they were like, you know, it was a B+. It's one of my favorite matches on the card, and I'm not a fan of them. So
now, besides Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, and Chris Jericho, were there any other?
Will Ospreay.
I've heard the name.
He had the big feud. It was Will Ospreay, and I can't remember the guy he wrestled a year or two ago where Big Van Vader got into it on with Twitter.
Okay. Yeah.
Then Okada was the main event. Okada against, I don't know.
Okada's like their John Cena, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And deserved so. That writer said he might be the best champion in pro wrestling today.
Yeah.
And he's a huge AJ Styles fan, so that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
But then Cody Rhodes.
Okay.
Yeah, he had a solid A match, they said.
And he's doing the whole Bullet Club thing right now, right?
I think he's in it. The Bullet Club had a match itself, but he had a one-on-one match with someone named Evil or something like that.
And, was he a doctor?
No, and I don't remember who he wrestled, but Cody's the bad guy.
Okay, yeah, Cody's been wrestling heel since he left. Well, got
him. And they say he's doing amazing work right now. Yeah. So, and he said he's making a better living. So
he'll come back to WWE.
He's got to. I mean, he's polished, you know. And
they just never really knew what to do with him.
Yeah. Oh, here you go. Speaking of, here is the Impact on Impact. That is a real-life MMA legend, Dan Lambert, the owner of American Top Team, who is one of the highest-ranking American black belts in the country.
Okay.
And he is about to wrestle a pro wrestler.
And he looks like your average dad you would see at Gold's Gym.
Yeah, he is in his 50s. Yeah, it's insane. But anyway, and I don't ever watch this wrestling. I just flipped it on, and I saw him walking in, and he has a stable. And it's like Bobby Lashley and others. Okay. So
I always thought stables were a good idea for pro wrestling.
Oh, I love the stables. Yeah. I mean, the Four Horsemen.
Absolutely.
Who's the bigger stable in history, Four Horsemen or the NWO?
Oh, NWO.
Yeah, the Four Horsemen longevity was better. It's the argument of who was a bigger star, Hogan or Rock? I mean, or Austin?
Ric Flair.
I mean, no, Austin was a bigger star, but Hogan was a star longer. The Four Horsemen were bigger longer.
I see what you're saying.
But the NWO was, it and Austin helped make wrestling acceptable in the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, there's books written on the Four Horsemen, and they're iconic, and you know they were basically WCW wrestling for 15 years or whatever it was. And NWO was 3 years, and it's peak,
and then tried to come back and wasn't. Yeah. No. Well, if the NWO did anything in that, if the NWO should get any credit, it caused the WWF to get better, and that gave us Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Which sucks for NWO because he destroyed the Monday Night. He dominated the Monday Night Wars.
Sure. And I always thought the biggest problem with NWO and WCW in general was, I don't really know what to do with this guy. Well, just throw a black and a white shirt on him.
Well, the inmates were running the asylum. That was the problem. And those two, three guys. But
I didn't know that as a kid when I was watching.
Yeah, that's
true.
I was
just like, oh, fucking Scott Norton, this guy.
Yeah, there was too many. And then they broke up.
Oh, they brought in Virgil?
Then it was red and black versus black and white. Yeah, it was. Yeah, but we digress. But so anyway, we got that special episode coming up. Yeah. Another episode we got coming up, January 19th. I don't know if you're going to go with me or not. I don't know who's going to go with me. Anybody yeah. can, but it's the Anything But Credible guys. We're going to go to their house
okay.
and record an episode.
Where do they live?
South County somewhere.
Okay.
South City, I don't know.
You decide who you want to bring to that dance.
Well, I figured Bender was here for the interview,
yeah.
so I figured you probably want to go with me to that one.
Sure, yeah.
Since I didn't meet you there, okay. here, so.
So. Wait, January 19th, that's a Friday night?
It's a Friday night.
Okay, probably shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. So, yeah, so that is, I mean, I do have a couple other things.
Sure.
Just some quick hits on some things that I saw on the TV this week. One, or in the news and whatnot. One, the term bomb cyclone.
Hilarious.
It's a nor'eastern.
Yeah.
It's what it's been called forever. Who the fuck coined the bomb cyclone? And the way people use it, it's baffling.
I want to blame Al Roker for this. Can we blame Al Roker for this?
I guess.
Bomb cyclone sounds like a terrible finish for a TNA wrestler.
Or a terrible nickname for a TNA wrestler.
Yeah, the bomb cyclone.
This sounds like inadvertently a wrestling-themed
definitely
podcast.
Definitely sounds like a fat guy in a singlet. Like Earthquake.
Yeah, this is... I just don't understand, but it's bad weather. We're not making light of what they're going through up there. Those are bad storms, but it is.
Charleston, South Carolina, 6 inches of snow. Ugh.
Florida was below zero one day,
yeah.
like parts of Florida.
I did see where Florida State Twitter, I think it was making fun of Texas A&M back when Houston got snow a few yeah. months ago, and now they got snow. Yeah, kind of funny.
Yeah, they got an inch down there, and it shut the north half of Florida down.
Oh, shit. Remember when Atlanta got shut down like 5 or 6 years ago?
Well, they didn't have a snow truck.
Yeah.
They didn't have a snow plow.
They had 4 snow plows for the entire city of Atlanta.
Hell, you don't think about it because it's such a close relative of us, but when Arkansas gets like 3 inches of snow, they
yeah.
have 2 snow trucks for their entire state.
yeah.
It's insane.
Speaking of snow trucks, shout out to MoDOT. Did a hell of a job here the last 2 or 3 weeks. They get shit on a lot, and sometimes yeah. rightfully so, but... I've driven in a couple of those snow flurries and no issues at all. So
they were prepared.
Yeah, they were prepared.
Yeah, we had some. We also didn't get like the full brunt. There was one real solid day of bad weather.
Yeah, but I stayed home that day.
But anyway, I wanted to throw out bomb cyclone because that's frustrating to me. It's a bad. Just don't make up things.
Yeah,
never heard it before ever.
Lame as shit.
And I'm not going to get too political, but. I just want to know, I don't know what it's going to take, I don't know how we do it, but I know we're just a fledgling podcast, but I really want to get a part of the deep state with Ellen DeGeneres and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Did you see this?
No.
Oh, what's the dumb Trump? Well, let me rephrase that. What's the son that is the most notably the dumb one?
Eric?
Yes, Eric Trump tweeted out, or he snapped a picture of his suggestions on his Twitter feed.
Okay.
And it was Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Ellen DeGeneres. And he goes, what a weird combination. Kind of don't understand why these people would be together. Deep state? Question mark. It's insinuating that maybe, because these are the people that are trying to...
Dethrone his dad?
Yeah. Ellen DeGeneres. And so the Twitter world instantly went after him. It's based on already who you follow and what you search, you jackass. It's not the deep, like first off, Ellen DeGeneres, if you look up what deep state is,
uh-huh.
it's public officials. None of the three are public officials anymore.
No, it's true.
None of them are elected officials of anything. So it can't be deep state. Second,
sure.
Why would you think Ellen DeGeneres is a part of the Democratic Illuminati?
Mm-hmm.
And it was baffling. I mean, just par for the course for that family.
Since you brought it up, I was thinking about bringing it up, but I know we don't usually talk politics. Have you followed any of this book that's coming out later this
week?
With
Bannon?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then he also last night said Trump's a great man. I'm going to do everything to support him day in and day out.
Yeah, well.
Because he got a cease and desist letter and.
So the guy's name is, I believe, what, Wolf, is coming out with this book, which is like the inside into the Trump.
Well, he co-wrote it with Bannon.
I don't think he co-wrote it with Bannon. Bannon was just a guy who tipped him off on a lot of this inside stuff.
He was the source. Named source.
Yeah. At one point, they basically say that Donald Trump is semi-literate.
Yeah.
It's just.
There was all kinds of stuff in it that was like his. Treasonous. I mean, basically called the meetings treasonous.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they definitely met with Russia. I mean, there's yeah. no question that yeah. all happened.
But then Trump, I mean, he went on the offensive. His lawyers did. I got to tell you, like I said, we're not going to talk politics, but you have a president that has to use a private lawyer to get through his day in and day out. It just baffles me. There's another thing. Speaking of things we don't really want to talk about, there's another thing. And I know, and the reason I want to talk about this and violate the Dan Harmon rule is me and Missy, a few weeks ago, when we did the episode by ourselves, I brought up a really good thing that Harmon did on the internet with the girl that asked about how you battled depression.
Yes.
And Harmon, you know, went back and forth with her. Well, in the last week, two notable things had happened on the internet, one being the Sarah Silverman thing. We'll get into that. The guy that called her the "see you next Tuesday."
Oh, I didn't know this is a thing.
She tweeted out that she's been having some back pain, so she tweeted out something. And this guy, in response to it, called her a C-word.
Because she had back pain?
Just a Twitter troll.
Sure.
So instead of dismissing it, she goes through and she reads this guy's timeline. And she tweets back to him. She goes, "I can tell by your previous tweets, I know where you're coming from. Your thinly veiled anger is part of the pain."
Yeah.
And this person goes, "Yeah." And so they had a back and forth where she totally defanged him. And she's paying for his medical treatment.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was just out of nowhere. But the other
an interesting cat.
She's an oddly good person. Like, she does good things, but they always come across at the expense, for her comedy, and some of her comedy's very, not edgy is not even the word. And I don't want to say offensive, but some.
I don't find her funny.
I find early career very funny. I find the post activist style comedy not as funny.
Yeah.
And but that said, she still has some. I do find intelligence in everything she does.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. I don't find her funny, but everything she's acted in, whether it be in Louie or being the voice of Veronica, whatever her name is, in Wreck-It Ralph, just her interviews.
Oh, the glitch. Yeah.
Yeah. She's a very intelligent person, and it's just not my comedy. I just don't really like that raunchy political comedy. Yeah. But yeah, you can't take away her as a person. I mean, every comedian who's anybody speaks highly of her as not just a funny person, an influential person, but a good person.
She fired Dan Harmon from the Sarah Silverman show, which was his first show to run.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to bring up Dan Harmon, too, because we brought up what he did on Twitter with the depressed girl. But also, so a few days ago, the 31st, New Year's Eve, he tweeted out, "This was truly the year of the asshole, myself included. We don't have to make 2018 the year of the minch, but I hope it can be the year of the not as much of an asshole. Hashtag realistic goals."
Yeah.
One of the people that responded was Megan Gans, who is a noted comedy writer and female comedian.
Okay.
Has wrote for Community, wrote for a lot of stuff.
Does she ever act?
I think you'll notice if you look at her, you'll know who she is.
All right, but, doing that now while you go through your.
So she put, "Care to be more specific? Redemption follows allocution. Okay, so to which he said, "I'm filled with regret and a lot of foggy memories about abusing my position, treating you like garbage. I would feel a lot of relief if you told me there was a way to fix it. I'll let you call the shots. Till then, at least know. I know I was an awful boss and a selfish baby."
Okay, yeah.
So she responded with, "I wish my memories were foggier. I wish there was a way to fix it. It took me years to believe in my talents again, to trust a boss when he complimented me, and not cringe when he asked for my number. I was afraid to be enthusiastic, knowing it might be turned against me later. You want relief? So do I. I want to watch the first episode of television I wrote again without remembering what came after. Figure out how to give me that relief, and I'll return the favor." To Harmon's credit, he doesn't run away. And that's the thing about Harmon. He makes a lot of mistakes.
Sure.
But he goes head on to the repercussions of the mistakes. He says, "I'm disgusted and sorry that I stained our show and your talent with my selfish, childish shit. I get that I can't erase. I don't want to. But I have felt sick about it. I have kept all a wall between me and coworkers. And I have preached in doing so as gospel because of how I treated you." She said, "I haven't listened to your podcast, but I do think I don't think that walls are the answer unless you put them up with male coworkers too. Otherwise, you're falling into the Mike Pence school of gender relations that says men can't be trusted with women's phone numbers." And then he finally responded, the last two I'll read. This is the last two of them.
Okay.
He said, "I'll reiterate. if and when you want me to do something, a public letter, a cosign on your letter, a book, pamphlet, public whatevering, I will support it. I will nod. I will verify. I will suffer, and I will atone. But it has to be at your behest, or it's just more of me dansplaining. And she said, I appreciate your attempt to make the amends and your acknowledgement of fault. That doesn't sound as tidy as I forgive you, but that's not my feeling yet. I'm working towards it all the time for my benefit and more than yours. A couple of notes about it.
Yep.
One, like I said, I feel like Dan does. There is never an accounting for being an asshole or being a bad person.
Right.
But the worst thing you can do is when you are a bad person is give an excuse or run and hide from it. And he does neither. But that said, I also feel like maybe her accusative tone takes a wrong turn for me when she says, unless you put them up with your male coworkers too. There's a documented history of him alienating male coworkers as well as female coworkers.
Yeah.
And then when she comes up with the Mike Pence school of gender relation, I just feel like that, you know, you're turning it into, I don't know. It gets a little off the rails right there.
Well, we're both white, straight males.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm not going to go down that whole like conservative path there, but we definitely have a harder line to walk these days than anybody else because every other group wants to have, this sounds terrible, but have their cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
At least that's how I feel. I understand that people's feelings are hurt. They feel like they are being judged by their looks, by their gender, by their race, by their religion. That is true, and they have good beef.
Yeah, yeah.
But then don't use that as a weapon to attack as well. That's what you can't use as a shield and as a weapon.
Yeah,
that's right. What I'm having an issue with.
It seems like she comes out in an honest way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, sort of.
I totally get the, you know, look, I get the idea that she wrote things and it feels tainted because it immediately goes back to bad memories. That makes a lot of sense to me. I have bad memories working at Anheuser-Busch, and I can't really do a brewery tour without thinking about the last year I worked there with InBev firing people every fucking day.
Yeah, yeah.
As time goes on, time does heal all wounds. I don't think about it as much, but I do sympathize with where she's coming from. But then that's fine to use that as a shield, but then don't use it. It seemed like you were saying she was using it as a sword,
too. She turns to that turn one post where she comes up with the witty quip about the Mike Pence.
Right, right.
And, you know, first off, I don't know why Mike Pence would be your go-to on that. I mean, to my knowledge, he hasn't.
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, he's an ultra-conservative white male, so I guess he's got some.
He apparently hates gay people or something.
Yeah, I mean, but whatever.
Yeah. I think he gets a bad rap sometimes.
I don't think he's good. I don't know. I don't really have an opinion of him. Is the thing?
He's gone into the shadows, hoping beyond hope that somehow Trump gets another 4 years.
The only feeling I have is that was his plan. It's like, this guy's going down, and I get to take over.
Yep. And if it doesn't go down, then...
And more power to him, if that was his plan, sure. And it works out. But I don't know. It's one of those weird things where, like, Dan Harmon has admittedly and sabotaged relationships with women. He's been a chauvinist. He's turned, you know, he says he's turned a corner in life, and by all accounts, from what you see, he has. It's just... I don't know when you attack someone like that online in a public forum. For instance, the things that Rose McGowan has said.
Yeah.
She went after these guys, and it wasn't like they...
You're talking about going after Weinstein and others.
Yeah, and they didn't come back at her in a public way. I mean, Dan Harmon had no choice, and every post he put, he goes, you're right. What would you like me to do? I will do literally anything I can.
Yeah.
I can't make it better. But I will do what I can in order. But she just kept going. Well, you know, you can't. Okay, well then, why did you come at me like this on Twitter?
Right.
You know?
As a Catholic, I do believe that everybody has a chance of redemption and every life is valuable, even a guy like Kevin Spacey. But at a certain point, you have to let you have to let people like Dan Harmon try to actually redeem themselves. You can still be angry. You can choose to disengage from him and walk away.
Yeah.
But when you're taking continuous shots when somebody... Now, you may not believe his contrition is in good faith. It's a show. But
then again, also on Twitter, you're not going to. Because you're not hearing him. You're not looking at him. And maybe she can't.
Yeah.
But you don't continue to not believe it and continue to talk about it. You know what I mean?
Right. I guess that's what... In going into the sexual harassment stuff, with the Louis C.K., it seemed like he was really trying to do that contrition before the story even broke out. Now, whether that was to save his own ass or whether that was something of... It's very hard.
I also think with him, it was a matter of the mountain had gotten too big to climb.
Yeah.
Like, yes, he probably was trying to fix some of it. And unfortunately for him, he might have forgotten some of the stuff that he had done.
Right.
Not in a legitimate way, in a way that's not forgiving or excusing him.
Sure.
But he had literally done, and make no mistake, I think Rogan talked about this too. Louis C.K. did bad things like a bad person would, but what he didn't do was anything that would be determined criminal. He didn't violate, like, he did not physically assault someone. He didn't force himself. He did bad things.
Yeah.
He abused his power.
That's
what he did.
Yes, he abused his power.
So, but I think it just probably, he just got to where it's like, you know, I just got to own up to it. I've tried fixing it, but obviously that was too little too late.
Right.
So,
it's people don't understand that times change, and it doesn't excuse past behavior, but there's a reason past behavior like that exists. I mean, you and I would never think that a slap on the ass would be acceptable to a female colleague, where 50 years ago...
That said, I've worked where it is, like in bars and things of that nature.
Yeah.
But not when there was, like, for instance, I'm not saying money changes things, but when you literally are in Hollywood and there's so much money on the line,
sure,
I would think you need to be extra minding of your P's and Q's.
Yeah.
Or in a real professional atmosphere. I mean, I've worked in bars where women have had bikini top nights.
Okay.
And I'm not saying they're asking for it. I don't want anybody to think that's what I'm saying.
Right.
But it is the party atmosphere. Times have changed. Maybe that doesn't exist anymore, but I got a feeling that shit's still going on in the bars across America.
Absolutely.
That's why you go there to drink. You're also putting yourself in an environment where you know stuff like that's going to happen. And you can't say that, well, the alcohol is what made it happen. Not bullshit. You went there knowing what was going to go down.
Yeah.
You know? But it's funny, you know, you talked about Louis C.K. Dave Chappelle's in a little bit of hot water over Louis C.K.
Oh.
He released his two New Year's specials, his new ones.
I've heard they're good.
Yeah, I've heard they're good, but I also hear that Dave, and I don't know that this is a bad thing per se. Dave is going out doing comedy like no one else does anymore, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care what you think of him. He
doesn't
care what you think of what he says. He's got a view that's can be looked at as political, social, and funny all at the same time, and he does not care if it's offensive. It's very hard for comedians to be offensive now. That's why they don't go to colleges. And if they cross the line a little too much, if they get too famous, which Dave Chappelle is as famous as a stand-up is.
Yes, yeah.
If they cross the line too much, it's almost like they're crucified or they're, you know. But so he came out and he addressed the Louis C.K. thing.
Yeah.
And the first one he said, it was that he goes, there was that one woman that said, everything I dreamed and hoped for was ruined by the way he treated me. And Dave says, well, then you didn't dream and hope big and hard enough, because if it's your real dream, you would have just went past that shit and used that shit and got even funnier and more famous.
Right.
And then he said, and I believe some of these women that were accusing him of things were a little weak. He goes, the woman that claimed that he would call her and make her listen as he masturbated, hang the fucking phone up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's also different when if he's saying things like, your job's on the line if you don't let me do this. That's
right,
different.
Right.
And you really want to be in Hollywood. But, like, you know, he mute it. I don't know what you want to do. But,
yeah.
But he's in hot water for a little bit of hot water. But he's Teflon Dave, man.
Everybody's going to bitch about something.
That's right.
And we are, I will agree with the conservatives on this. We are in a culture of victimhood. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's again, like we've talked about in episodes before, it's just so fucking, I feel like we can almost sidestep the political landmines in our podcast and conversations than we can the sexual assault thing now.
Oh, yeah. I'd much rather talk about politics than sexual assault.
But because we are genre and pop culture podcast.
Yeah. We feel like we have to kind of delve into that.
It's pop culture right now. I mean, it's weird.
So should we change gears?
Yeah, let's change gears. In fact, that's all I had. That's all I had for today. I was going to, like, we're already in my notes, the last segment, toss it to Missy. So we'll find out what other random shit we got.
I started reading a comic.
Which one?
Saga.
Oh, Saga's big.
Yeah.
Saga's probably...
I thought you'd be, like, super impressed with me for going out on a limb and saying...
Well, it's probably... Yeah, it's probably the most it's the second biggest comic that balances acclaim with sales. Uh-huh. It is constantly critically acclaimed, won numerous literary awards as in the comic industry as well as outside.
Yeah,
and its Image's second best selling title behind Walking Dead, which is the other book that is in the same complexity range of that comic.
Yeah. So do you read Saga?
I've read the first 18 issues and I love them.
Uh huh.
And I even own the first issue somewhere, which is worth quite a bit now.
Yeah.
The only reason I haven't read past that is because I'm reading them through that Hoopla app and you're only allowed to borrow 5-6 books a month.
Yeah.
So I mix it up. And next month is my month to come back to the next one.
Gotcha.
And I believe there's 8 or 9 of the books out on Hoopla so far.
Gotcha. I found a website where I could, at least I read the first 4.
Oh, and there's tons yeah. of sites to read them for free. And, yeah. and I've downloaded things in the past. The Hoopla is just so convenient.
Yeah,
it's on my iPad or my phone. It goes anywhere with me, and
just pops up in there.
And it's the library. It's based on your library.
Sure,
library membership. So,
but so I'll let you know how it goes. So far, so good.
Brian K. Vaughan,
yeah,
is the writer. Brian K. Vaughan has Runaways show on TV. He created that. What else has K. Vaughan done?
This is the guy who wrote
Saga. Yeah, writes Saga. Yeah, he's been, for a long time, been one of the better writers in comic books.
Cool. Well, so now I'll have something to talk about.
Yeah, that is good. Well, you said 4 issues?
Yep.
And so far you're in?
I am. I like that The Will and the Lion Cat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cool, unique characters.
I suggest also, if you do have a library card, downloading the Hoopla app and reading.
Yeah, I will eventually maybe do that. Let's give this one a go here, and then we'll see where it goes.
You brought it up on New Year's. Go back and read Scott Snyder's run on Batman. I think Scott Snyder's run on Batman is the definitive Batman run as a whole. Jim Lee had a 12-issue run called Hush, which is probably...
Yeah, is that a good one?
Yeah, mega popular run. Good, very good run. I'm sorry. Jim Lee drew it. Who wrote that? That was Jeff Loeb.
Okay.
Jeff, who's a great writer, but Jim Lee's the greatest comic book artist of all time, arguably. And then Frank Miller had what people considered shaped the Batman that we know now. So
it's like Dark Knight.
Those are big ones, but neither of them had the sustainability of Scott Snyder's run. Scott Snyder's run is years long, and it's amazing. It's an amazing run, so it's worth reading. And you can get them all almost from that app.
Okay.
So it's pretty cool. Yeah, so that's good. Well, I'm excited. Bender will be excited about that.
Yeah, he'll be excited. That's something to talk about. So other things I had. So I did have a trivia game that we can't really use, but it can...
Since it's just the two of us.
Some of it is time sensitive, though, because basically this day in history. So let's go through some of these.
All right. Yeah,
this day in history.
All right.
I'm not going to tell you the year because it's going to go back.
For our listeners, as we record this, it is January 4th.
Yep, January 4th.
2018.
So I'm not going to give you the year because it's going to tie back into the game, although I guess you could later, but fuck it. Jesse Ventura sworn in as governor.
Wow. Wow.
So, Jesse Ventura, is he on your best colored commentary of all time for wrestling?
No.
No? Who would you give it to? Heenan? One of those two.
Well, see, I think the team of Lawler and Ross was unbelievable.
I like their run. Puppies! Oh, God!
See, I like it when Lawler's not with post-Attitude Era, when he was actually coloring the match instead of just being...
I agree.
Yeah, okay.
The Attitude Era, if that's what I remember.
Puppies. Heenan and Monsoon were... awesome.
Yeah, best chemistry.
They're probably... Heenan is just the greatest manager, the greatest heel personality of all time, I think.
Yeah,
so it's hard to say that those weren't the best. But yeah, Ventura to me, I don't know. There were times where Ventura, I thought, especially going back and listening to it now, he was fine at the time. But going back and listening to it now, there were some times I thought, well, he was just there.
He's there for the paycheck.
Yeah. And then there's other times I think, he's... probably an undervalued legend, but
he's always going to be famous too for trying to get benefits and healthcare into the wrestling business.
Yeah,
so this day they still don't have it.
And he also is, and UFC fighters have it. So it's not that those two things are connected, but they are the kind of they get rightfully or wrongfully, whatever you want to look at it. They are joined at the hip sometimes. and they've got it. It seems like it'd be an easy thing to do. But Ventura probably, unfortunately, is going to be most known for being a wackadoodle now in this point in his life.
Well, yeah, he's got that show, Conspiracy Theory. Is that still on?
Yeah, I don't know. And then the whole, he had the whole Chris Kyle thing. Just a weird
deal with that. Like, he called him out?
No, Chris Kyle said that he punched him out in a bar.
That's right.
And Jesse Ventura sued him and won. Slander, said it never happened.
Uh-huh.
And then after Chris Kyle died, the appeals went on, and it was overturned. I mean, just...
He kept pursuing it after Chris Kyle was killed. Well, that was why
It was appealed. It wasn't his opportunity to pursue. It was appealed by Chris Kyle's estate and his wife.
Okay.
And who also may not have really had the authority to appeal it, because Chris Kyle did not leave her to be in charge of the estate.
Sure, okay.
But she did win, and then he tried to go back. I mean, just let it go.
Messy.
He gives a shit.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same book where the guy, and I'm not trying to get political again or make anybody mad about a guy that was truly a war hero.
Sure.
But he did claim that he sat on top of the dome down there in New Orleans and shot looters.
Yeah.
So he did lie in his book.
Yeah.
Profusely. But I don't care if he punched Jesse Ventura. If he did punch Jesse Ventura out in the bar, good job. You punched a 65-year-old man.
Yeah.
Who was legitimately a tough guy back in the day, but he's still...
What was his name in Running Man?
Oh, I can't remember. where he was Captain America, essentially.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, what's next?
All right. So what else we got? God, unfortunately, it's all political wrestling and comics.
That's
all right. In this day in history, Nancy Pelosi became the first female Speaker of the House.
I'll be darned.
How will history remember Nancy Pelosi? A bitch.
Yeah, but I also think she's overshadowed by Trump. So, like...
Well, I think now people just think she's kind of a washed-up joke, but...
I think she's going to be known as difficult.
Yeah.
But I think it was the right time for her. I think Kitty's had her claw, not to be sexist, had been declawed a little.
But I don't even know, like, we're all, as we've talked on the show many times, all four of us are liberals.
Yeah.
Or leaning towards Democrats. I don't know anybody who's like, sure, Nancy Pelosi, man, what a bulldog. I mean,
yeah,
I know people who like Hillary. I don't think it's just because she's a woman I know people who love Elizabeth Warren
Here's the way I'll say it.
Okay.
She's a liberal. She's a Democrat. She's closer to my party affiliate. We're left of center.
Yeah.
I would not call myself an extreme left or a toe-the-line Democrat.
Yeah.
And that said, though, I think she's part of the problem.
She's an establishment, and I've always felt with her she's an opportunist.
She's a career politician.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the way I'll remember.
Yeah. All right. I don't know about you, but I always like to see who's, I have my Mount Rushmore of people who were born on my birthday.
I think we've known this. You do Mount Rushmores of a lot of things.
I do. Today would be a bad day to have your birthday. Best one I can think of today. Happy birthday, Michael Stipe.
Michael Stipe's a good one. I actually saw someone else.
But he was like your number one for your birthday. So rattle off your Mount Rushmore of your birthday, celebrities.
Oh, mine, I think, I can't remember them all, but I know Nelly's on there. So good or bad, I mean, he's Nelly. So
would you take Nelly over Michael Stipe?
Michael Stipe's a good damn musician, but Nelly also had a super album. I mean, his
thing. He's from St. Louis.
Yeah, and he also may or may not have.
Well, that first one got thrown out.
Got some people to take the rap for him. I don't know. Maybe, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I'll have to look my birthday up, but you go ahead because I want to hear your birthday. And
okay, my Mount Rushmore.
We'll finish today, then go into yours.
My Mount Rushmore for my birthday off the top of my head because it's always changing lists. Number one, without a question. Woo!
Ric Flair.
Number two, Beatle, George Harrison.
That's a big one.
Number three, I'll have to carry you, Mr. Frodo, Sean Astin himself.
Sean Astin?
Him too.
Yeah.
Then I have to start looking shit up. Sally Jesse Raphael.
Oh, I wouldn't put that one up there.
Taya Leone.
Oh, yeah, I like Taya Leone.
Somebody who shares the same birthday as I do. God, what's her name?
I don't know.
Shit. She was on Parks and Rec. She was on The Office. Oh, God, I have to look her name up. She's cute. Her last name's Jones.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Rashida Jones.
Rashida Jones, yeah.
Same exact day to the year. So if I ever see her out, I'm totally going to use that to see if she'll slap me across
the face.
There you
go. Here is mine, by the way.
All right.
Mine is not too shabby, man. I've got David Schwimmer.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Friends, come on now. I've got, like I said, Nelly.
Yeah.
I've got Sean. Who is he? I don't know who he is.
Well, show me the picture of him.
Hold on. Yeah, he looks familiar. He looks like he's been on TV before.
Okay, yeah, sure.
I don't know who he is. More birthdays. Here we go. Here's it. Singer Jay Black. I don't know who that is. Yeah, boy, mine's pretty weak. Mine is weak. Weak sauce. Weak sauce. Here we go. Historical figures. Marie Antoinette.
Okay.
Daniel Boone. That's representing.
That's a pretty good one.
Right there. James Polk. Yeah, Warren G. Harding,
James,
too.
James Polk might be the most underrated president.
Burt Lancaster. I'll take it.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Nope, that's it. That's it. Yeah.
All right. And then the last thing I have today, because everything else will be give away the game. Commodore 64 was launched today in history.
Yeah.
Never played a Commodore 64. You may have, because you're
old fart. Yes, I did. I remember hooking it up, and you had the two wires that had the U-shaped prongs, and you had to try to get that unscrew and get those to stay in there. Everyone's prongs break, so it just exposed wire, and you would unscrew and then wrap it around there.
What's the best game on the Commodore 64?
Oh, God. Probably Space Defender or whatever.
Okay. So those are all in there. Like Galactica was on
or
there.
I think that
was like Ghouls and Goblins on it.
No. Those would have been Atari. Commodore 64, like the Space Defender, was literally just like the pencil landscape, and you just shoot up at the things coming down.
Playing Missile Command.
And tennis, probably.
Pong or tennis?
It was called tennis, but it was Pong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, or maybe I might have that backwards. Not a great system, but again, head start somewhere.
Absolutely, and now look where we are.
Yeah, we're an awesome. I got a Switch, and I love it.
Yeah, you were talking about that.
Yeah. But yeah, so we're at the end of it, were you supposed to guess years or something?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll get into that later. Maybe you'll have to do another day next time we get together and record.
Yeah, well, I'll have to, yeah.
There's an odd smell on my microphone.
What'd you do to it?
I don't know. That was the other thing that I forgot to bring up about Bender. They tried to kill us with some kind of poisonous spore. They gave us some blankets that came out of their storage to sleep, and they were the one I had especially smelt so bad. They know it was like a combination of mold and mothballs or something like that, or mildew and
gross.
Rachel just wanted to throw them away.
And she threw them away after you guys.
I don't know, but I was so drunk. I was like, I'm doing it. I don't have time to go find another blanket. I need a blanket.
I think the highlight of the night also might have been Rachel's disgust with Bender as we were not done with the podcast and it was time to eat.
Yeah, but, that's a tricky one because she knows we're going to do it.
Yeah.
But yet she comes and talks to him while we're on it.
Oh, yeah. Or he calls.
Yeah.
I don't think Kelly has ever called me while I've been on the show.
It's an hour. We do 1 hour.
Yeah.
If it's not an hour, we'll be done soon. And I love it, Rachel.
But, oh, absolutely. Yeah. She's a doll.
And you almost want Bender to just go, hey, we'll be done.
Yeah.
And, you know.
We'll get you out of trouble.
And we literally have all night. That's what I said at that one point. We literally have 5 hours until midnight. We're gold.
Plenty of time.
Yeah. Retrospect, though, I probably should have wrapped up sooner and ate more.
Yeah.
As to not
get myself. There was a lot of food left. By the time I went through the line, there were two of your meatballs left, so I only took one. And then, was there a pulled pork or something?
I didn't.
There wasn't much of that left.
And I didn't even eat that as a sandwich.
I didn't eat as much as I wanted to. I took everything, and I felt if I took more, I would have been rude, because I didn't know if anybody else had gone through the line yet.
I had two slices of that cake your wife made.
Did you like it?
I enjoyed it thoroughly.
How did it go coming out there?
Oh, there was a mix. It was
a hodgepodge.
Yeah, that was ugly.
Hey, also today, officially, although it's not a big secret, although I saw on Twitter that some people were like, oh my God, this sucks. Game of Thrones not coming out until 2019. Why are people like, freak? That was pretty well known, right?
I was going to ask you, too, if you were upset that Rick and Morty might not come out until 2019.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it sucks. It's just,
Season 3 was just, have you watched season 3
now? Nah, not yet.
Okay. It's all right.
Yeah, and he cited why, and it sounds legitimate, but it's going to get pushed back. Who knows? But anyway, I don't know if this is like I said. I knew this episode was going to have some. It was going to be tough for me to get the excitement level up. And we talked a lot of wrestling, and I don't know who that turns. It does turn some people off.
Sure,
but you got some comic books in on it.
Got some comic books in on it, yeah.
What else we got before we wrap up?
Well, right now, those St. Louis Blues are playing those pesky Vegas Golden Knights down at the Scott Trade Center.
The Golden Showers.
Tied 1-1, yeah. Interesting article I read on the Vegas Golden Knights. Actually, a new podcast I like. You may dig it, although it's called...
I thought that was going to be the name. You may dig it. That should be ours. That'd be a good ours. Like, I'm going to patent that before anybody jumps on it.
You may dig it. It's called Puck Soup. It's by the two guys. One is Greg Wyshynski. He is the now lead writer for the NHL for ESPN. And then Dave Lowe.
Who inherited just by the line of succession?
No, actually, they hired him away from Yahoo Sports.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And then he does it with another guy named Dave Lozo. It's half pop culture and then half hockey. I have it now above Something to Wrestle With is my favorite podcast.
Oh, that's big.
Oh, yeah. So, well.
And below ours.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's very hard to make me laugh. But they went on a diet, a little tangent the other day of what would have happened if Bane from The Dark Knight Returns was the dad who adopted Arnold from Different Strokes. Oh, Arnold. I don't think you should go to that bike store. Gordon Chump doesn't seem very trustworthy.
Yeah,
I was fucking rolling,
awful
man.
Awful character. That's the worst portrayal of a comic book character maybe in movies. Oh,
my Bane impression isn't to your liking.
No. Well, no, that too. But no, Tom Hardy's Bane impression wasn't to my liking either.
After seeing all this stuff on YouTube about people doing Bane impressions, I have toned down my love for Dark Knight Returns. Just a smidge.
It's not a good movie.
It's so good.
Batman quits twice.
I know. You talk about it all the time.
The Cardinals may overpay for Jake Arrieta. I'm not happy about that.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
I don't think the moment you start saying, should they overpay to get him away from a contender or competitor, you've lost.
Well, I was looking at the stats the other day, and he has the more or less exact stats as Lance Lynn did last year.
And my buddy,
so
just how power talking about
Lance Lynn. It's
Arrieta has proven a better ERA over time.
Over the last 5 years, yeah.
But I mean,
you don't spend a lot of money on a declining asset.
You could have paid. You could almost get Lance Lynn. Probably get Lance Lynn for around $20 million, and you're going to get $27, $28 million for, if you overpay for Arrieta. Yeah. Yeah,
Cardinals are in a weird spot because
they're cash rich.
They're apparently not afraid to spend the money.
Yeah,
but baseball now you got to tank to win a World Series apparently, because that's what the last two or three teams have done.
Yeah, well, I was talking about this with Hal Pout too, and then we're gonna wrap up after this. The Cardinals, the Giants to an extent. The Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, only the Giants and the Cardinals have had some World Series wins out of that, but the longevity they've had. I mean, we didn't make the playoffs as the Cardinals for the last 2 years, but they had a winning record.
Yeah.
So to sustain successfulness that they've had is something to be admired in a time, especially in baseball, where it seems like your window with a good team is 3 seasons.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to tank. I think some teams do.
It depends on how cash rich you are, like you said.
Yeah, and they are. They got that $1 billion TV contract. So, we'll see. This is the first year they've been players, and I don't think they've really made a splash. I think they've made smart moves.
The Ozuna trade is kind of a splash.
It's bigger than the noise it's made.
Yeah.
So, let's quit talking baseball. Let's quit talking everything. Let's wrap this up.
All right, let's go Blues!
Beat those Golden Showers of Vegas, which is the place you probably would want to do Golden Showers, right?
Yeah, I call them. You know what they're called? They're called the Sweet Golden Knights.
We're gonna play the other music, so all right. We're gonna get out of here. I just couldn't get the energy level up.
First in, first serve.